The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Jesus, our Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. God blesses us in many ways. Sometimes they're subtle and small. They require a bit more looking, a little more noticing. But sometimes they're large. They come in the shape of friends, family, people we come to be in relationships with. And in the small ways and in the large ways, God intends those loves, those blessings to contain love that helps us grow, that helps us know His grace and peace. Today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, humbly we come before You today to worship You in spirit and in truth. For the Scriptures remind us that You are Spirit. Therefore, we are called to worship You in spirit and in truth. May we come now to worship and to praise You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
A reading from a letter from Paul to the Church of Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into His presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The word of God for the people of God.
I would like to encourage you to read all of chapter 4 and 5 this afternoon, if you will. And you'll get a little more of the, if you will, what's on either side of this little slice out of Paul. The message today is entitled Fragile. Paul had some problems going on at this church he had founded in Corinth. This is his second letter to them to address them. And one of the biggest problems that he had, well, there was two, and he mentions them sort of in less directly in this passage. One was false doctrines, false teachings, false prophets. And the second one was this idea of persecution. There was persecution that was going on, we'll talk about, but also there was false doctrine and false teaching. Now, we need to refresh ourselves maybe a little bit about this place called Corinth. Corinth was the crossing over. It was a narrow stretch of land that allowed people to offload ships on one side, move the stuff across this narrow strip of land to the other side, load it back on the ships, and saving this weeks and weeks of sea travel back to the other side. Now, because of that, this Roman seaport of Corinth was, and Corinth means crossing over, it is filled with diversity. Diversities of religions, diversities of people, great amount of diversity is going on in Corinth. It was said that the Corinth was the most corrupt place of all, and it was because some of those religions were extortive. They promised you things if you did things. Maybe things haven't changed so much. If you did certain things, you got certain things. You received certain things. If you didn't receive them and you didn't get them, then you hadn't done all of what you should have done. Maybe familiar. So it's in this place that Paul begins a mission. And he begins a church. And he begins by going here and preaching to them Christ crucified, resurrected, and seated at the right hand of God. And Paul begins to gather up these followers as he shares, as he mentions here, I believed and I talked, and we talked about grace and how grace is winning people over and God's forgiveness is winning and it's growing. But there had become the problem of the false doctrines. You see, the people that were giving their life to Jesus were coming from those other religions. They were coming from different walks of life. Paul is in a ministry to the Gentiles. No longer do they have a scriptural background. No longer do they have that Jewish scriptural Old Testament foundation. They don't have a foundation at all. And there's a hazard when there isn't a foundation. And that hazard is that if you don't know the truth, then the truth is easily misused. Now I'm going to pick on some of you. I'm going to pick on Samantha and Nick for a minute. Samantha, you just graduated from high school and Nick's getting ready to get done at University of Wyoming. When you're getting ready to write a paper, do you need third-rate sources? What do you want in order to write that paper informed? Primary sources. You got to go to the original stuff if you can, right? So, but if you don't get the original, what are you getting? It's whatever somebody else wanted to give you, right? When I was getting started in ministry, I asked David Hobson, I said, David, there's a lot of argument about Bibles. I was raised in the Baptist church. And in order to preach in the Baptist church where I grew up in the Southeast, you had to have a 1611 King James Version of the Bible, and it needed to be a Scofield reference version. Now, anything else, you just didn't have a Bible. You could slide by if you had just a regular 1611 King James. But if you had a Scofield, then you were okay. You go in my office, you'll find some Scofield 1611s. Because I just it was just ingrained in me. And I preached in Baptist churches, and I knowed if I went, I better take one. Because they look. So I asked David, I said, David, what's the best version of the Bible? Which is the best translation? He said, the one I carry. I thought that pretty arrogant. He had this big old fat, thick, ugly Bible, probably weighed 20 pounds. And I said, well, Smarty, what do you carry? He said, one like this. And he handed me his Bible. I flipped that puppy open. I couldn't read a thing in it. It was Greek and Hebrew. He said, if you're not reading the original, you're already getting someone else's opinion. So many sleepless nights were spent in seminary learning Greek and Hebrew. Let me explain to you. One dot changes the whole sentence in Greek and Hebrew. If you point that thing wrong, and I mean a dot, you've had it. It changes, and you got to read from right to left. Is that not stupid? I mean, what do they think they do? They think just because they come before English, they had the right to do that? You know, so in the Bible, the problem that happens to us, how do you know that you've not fallen victim to a false teacher or a false doctrine? How do you know that something someone has shared with you is a false doctrine or a false teaching? Well, how many of you have learned Hebrew? I asked that at a church one time. A man raised his hand. He said, I know a little Hebrew. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, he owns a sandwich shop downtown. He's only about this tall. There's always one. And I'm guessing not many Greek speakers, readers here. God bless you. You know, Paul says that there's light affliction. That's not. So the thing is, you're already reading something someone else has translated for you, right? But it's the best you got. And you could trust it. Reading a New Revised Standard Version, reading a New Internet, there's a lot of work went into that. So I want to share that with you this morning. You can trust them. They're pretty darn good. You'll hear me up here once in a while have to fix something. But a New International Version, New Revised Standard Version, New King James Version. Now, watch out for the CEB, the Common English Version, the CEV, Common English Bible. Watch out for it. It's a little tougher. But if you stay with those, you'll be safe. And you can use them. Don't worry about getting tripped up. But how do you know then if you've been in the presence of a false prophet? Paul had all these people who were coming in. They didn't have a background. They didn't have a base. They didn't have a foundation. Church, we have arrived at that time in our own history when a lot of the people that we meet and minister to out there don't have that foundation and that base. They haven't attended a Sunday school in their life. They've never colored pictures of Noah's Ark and the animals. They've never colored those pictures of Samson with a jawbone of an ass. They've never colored pictures of the temple or David on the throne. They've never colored the pictures of the Tower of Babel. They don't have that background. And some of you may be sitting there right now thinking, I don't have this myself. So how? When someone comes in to say to you that the Word of God says, and they just change it a little bit, how are you going to determine truth versus falsehood? Here's your test. Your powers of observation. You got to read this. Now you need to remember that the New Testament we hold to be sacred text. But every word that those early apostles preached and even Jesus was based in the Old Testament. When Paul says all Scripture is good for the edification, for the correction, and the direction, when he's talking to Timothy, he's talking about the Old Testament. Let's give you a test. You like tests, right? No? But you're a teacher, Carrie. You don't like them. So, how many of you enjoy tests? This one's real simple. It's really easy. Cleve likes tests. Well, let's give you one. How many of you remember the story of Noah and the Ark? Come on, you. How many of you read it? You know the story. I didn't say you heard of it. Be careful. How many of you have read the story of Noah and the Ark? Raise your hands. You got it. Got it under your belt. How many animals did he put on that ark? How many votes for 2x2? Really, that's what it says? Nope. Ow. 14. 12 unclean and one of each kind of clean. You got to go read it. It's a simple thing, right? So I could teach you. Okay, here's a big one. This is a big one. Who was created first, Adam or Eve? How many votes do we have for Adam? Of course. So that's what the Bible says. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. I'll turn and read it instead of quoting it for you. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our... Are you there? I want you to be there before I take off. I'm in a hurry. I'm hungry. So you're there? Then God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over everything that creeps upon the earth. You remember that? Not really? Well, let's see if you remember the next verse. So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God created He them, male and female created He them. Really? So would people in general include Adam and Eve? There we go. So did He just create two? Ah. Actually, I didn't set you up to get wrong because you're right too. Now go with me down to Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. You just read that God created man and woman all at the same time, right? You see, Genesis chapter 1, 1 through Genesis 2, 3 is the story of the creation. Look what Genesis 2, 4 says to you. And this is the history. In the day that God created the heavens and the earth, right? Something like that. I probably should read it so I get it right. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. So guess what He's going to do now? Folks, this isn't a creation story. We've had that one. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. When you read this one's about the explanation of the fall of humanity. Anybody read Paradise Lost? Then you'll find a lot of this in Paradise Lost. It's in this one that we get the story of God creating Adam down by the riverside out of mud. And He breathes into Adam, and Adam becomes a living soul. And then He makes all the animals, but among all those animals, nobody's found that can be His friend. No one's found that can be His helper. So God knocks him out, pulls a rib, sticks it in the dirt and says, grow. And a woman come up. That's what He did. Isn't that what it says? Not really, but I'm telling the story. But He does call Adam, goes to sleep, and He takes a rib out and He makes a woman, and her name is Woman. She don't get a name until after the fall. She's just Woman. Do you see how easy? If you haven't read it, do you see how easy it is to take it, polish it a little, and bring it along to suit your purpose? You see, if I was a man and I needed to be in power, the story I would tell you was how much it was Eve's fault that there was a fall, and that God said, from now on, because you did this, you're going to be my servant. Was that ever a teaching in the church? Read your book. You'll find out it was actually Adam's fault, not Eve's. She just plucked it and ate it. And when she does, nothing happens. But after Adam eats it, the eyes of them both are open. Keep reading. False prophets existed in that early church, and friends, they exist in the church today. How do you identify them? Number one, by the word. Number two, who do they point to? Who do they tell you about? Who are they honoring? Are they more worried about what God says or what man says? You see, the problem was they were bringing the outside world into the church and trying to make it fit the church instead of taking the Holy Spirit out and changing the community. You see, that's what had happened, and that's when it becomes false. You see, the Word of God is meant to transform the world, to transform us. We're not meant to take it and make it fit our purposes. It's a dangerous walk that we start when we depart from the knowledge of the Word of God. Christian friends, I need to share with you this morning, our faith is very fragile. Our faith is based and must be based on the Word of God. We got to read this. We got to use this. We got to be guided by this in love and grace. It is our foundation. It is our hope, for it is that which doesn't change. Paul talks about all the things in life that are temporary. Have you looked in the mirror lately? I don't like it. I mean, look. I mean, I've got sea trunks under here. These ain't suitcases. And I've noticed that these, what do you call these wrinkles around your eyes? Crow's feet? I got a covey of them. I ain't just one walk through there. There was a whole crowd. You know? My mind still says, go ahead. My body says, why'd you do that? And since you did that, it's going to be a week before you can do anything else. Yeah? I used to work all day, rest 20 minutes, and go another 4 hours. I work all day now, and I barely can't get in the house. But that's just the way it is. It's temporary, isn't it? Now, I drive a Ford truck. I've actually got two of them. They got a lot of miles on them. I'd like to think those old trucks are going to last me forever. But I was noticing close to 400,000 driving down to Ogden last weekend. Seems a little loose here and there. Seems a little noisier than usual. Things give up, don't they? Everything that you see is temporary. There is nothing that you see that's eternal. Nothing. It's all temporary. It's fragile. It's fragile. How many of you have, back east we had a lot of home places that it seemed that the kids didn't want to live where mom and dad lived. Does that happen much out here? I've noticed some homesteads that don't have anybody on them anymore. We found hiking and stuff. But back east, they didn't have them. And we had a plant out there. Dennis, you'd be interested in this guy. It's called kudzu. It's not native. But let me explain something to you. One sprig of that stuff planted in your backyard, you leave for a summer and come back, and you won't find your house. It'll literally cover it over that quick. It'll grow through the walls and we have back home a lot of those places where you only neglect it for a little while. and nature begins to take it back. It's temporary. We are continually pulling maintenance, aren't we, on ourselves and on our stuff. How many of you have noticed that every time you comb your hair, you got a little something extra with the comb? Grows back. I'm praying it. Well, it's temporary. It's fragile. Paul says our emphasis in the world today doesn't need to be on that which is temporary, but that which is eternal. And I think that if we put our perspective into that, if we read our Bibles, we'll be able to push away the false prophets that challenge a fragile faith. False doctrines that challenge the existence of our very God and His Word. For it's fragile. It must be taken care of. It's our watch. It's our turn. To be good stewards of what God has given us, we have to understand what that is. It started with His Word and His promise, and was fulfilled in Jesus. And that which is eternal, can you name it for me? What is it that never dies? There's only one thing. Love. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, everything else will pass away except for love. God's love for us, nothing can take it away. And who can steal the love you have for someone else? Nobody. Can't take it away, can we? So he says, if we'll look for this, then we'll come to know that home, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And Paul remembers the words of his friend John. And Jesus said, I will go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. My friends, today I want you to be reminded that we are fragile. We need to be careful that we don't have too fragile a faith, that we inform it with the studying of His Word, the reading of it. Believe it or not, this is a primary. It's once removed from original text. May we hold to that which is eternal. For God is love. God first loved us. Let us hold on to the love that He shares in our hearts and lives. Let us share that love. For that's what we will leave behind. And may it be a legacy of love. Let us always live in humility, knowing that in any moment things can change. Any time, any moment. My friends, tragedy is not a respecter of age, race, or socioeconomic status. Let us remember in humility to love as we have loved, to forgive as we have been forgiven, and to hold on to God's Word in our lives. Amen. Can we bow our heads for just a minute and pray together? Our gracious and loving God, indeed, many things around us are fragile. Many things around us are uncertain. Many things around us challenge us to seek truth. Jesus says He is the truth. Many things around us make us uncertain. We're uncertain of the way we should go and the decision we should make. Jesus says, I am the way. We are uncertain. We can't be sure. How can we? We must trust Jesus, who is the truth, We must trust Jesus, who is the way, but we also must believe in Him that we would have life and have it eternally, redeemed and saved, that we may one day be in that house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Father, pour out upon us Your Spirit of understanding as we read Your Word, as we hold on to it. For Father, I fear that a time is upon us when people are not listening to sound doctrine, but like this early church at Corinth, are swayed by the world outside, its norms, its habits. The Father, instead of the church transforming the world in the name of Jesus, the church is falling victim to the trappings of the world. Father, with You, through Christ our Savior, empowered by the Holy Spirit, our faith is strong. It weathers any storm. It stands against any foe. But Father, we have to root ourselves, prepare ourselves in Your Word, in our relationships, in our prayers, and lean on You. For Father, it is when we are weak in humility that we are strongest in You. And love overcomes it all. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted before You today. In Christ's name, amen. Truly, may we go to know God's love and grace that strengthens us, forgives us, sustains us, sanctifies and justifies us in humility. But let us remember that it's fragile if it isn't His. Now may the peace and grace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you and bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.